This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Train travel between Kalamazoo and Chicago is supposed to get faster in the near future. That has got the attention of economic developers in Grand Rapids who wonder if trains out of their city can be rerouted to Kalamazoo to take advantage of rail infrastructure improvements. Nick Manis wrote about this recently for MIBiz. Nick Manis, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me on, Gordon. I appreciate it, as always.
So what got the people at, for instance, the Right Place Economic Development Agency in Grand Rapids even talking about the idea that rail routes could perhaps be changed?
Sure. I think it's something that they're at least looking at. It's certainly something further in the future, but they see opportunity. I've spoken with Rick Chaplow, who's their vice president of strategic initiatives there. And he says that that Chicago really is the economic engine for this Midwestern region that the Grand Rapids is part of, and that by just anything we can do to enhance mobility between the two areas makes a big difference for business and the overall economy.
And they're looking at the improvements that are supposed to allow trains to travel up to 110 miles an hour. And seeing basically as something that they would like to be able to route their passengers down there to take advantage of it?
Yeah, they right now, Grand Rapids, Chicago, Amtrak only runs one train each way every day. I believe there's four from Kalamazoo to Chicago. So just greater connections, greater speed, and greater mobility. That's very appealing to economic development, not just in Grand Rapids, but in the Kalamazoo area as well.
And then you talked to some people with Southwest Michigan First here in Kalamazoo. What are their thoughts?
Yeah, they see this as an opportunity. And they said this before, and I think MIBiz has previously written about this to some extent, that they increasingly see themselves as, sort of something of a suburb or a bedroom community to the Chicago area, in faster and enhanced train travel only makes that more realistic, at least as they see it. It might not be Kalamazoo, the city specifically, but they see other cities in the region, as you go west, like Baton Harbor and stuff, is increasingly being part of the Chicago area.
Now, before anyone gets too far ahead of themselves thinking that this is all going to happen tomorrow, you do quote an official from the Michigan Department of Transportation saying that while this has been discussed, it isn't a priority, is the quote in your story. So give us an idea here. How serious really are the discussions?
He says that they've certainly discussed it. I think right now they're more focused on completing the infrastructure work that will connect, that will make it possible for trains between Detroit and Chicago to travel 110 miles an hour the entire time. I think they say that will get travel times between Detroit and Chicago down to 3.5 hours or so, maybe 4 hours, compared with, I think even, 5 to 5.5 hours to drive if you get it without traffic.
So has anyone who has been discussing this idea of sending trains from Grand Rapids to Kalamazoo even begun to consider things like cost or the logistics of how you would get passengers into a train station, which currently doesn't have any tracks running north and south near it at the moment?
Right. And I think that's definitely, the concern why, at least nothing formal is being talked about here. It's just, the cost and the logistics of it are quite unknown at this point. So at this point, I think it's fair to say it's an idea, and people are very interested in the idea, but I don't think it's a whole lot more than that right now.
So does the fact that these ideas are even being floated, even if they're still at the very early stages at best, does it indicate that people who are at economic development agencies like Southwest Michigan First or the Right Place in Grand Rapids really looking at investment in rail service as a serious consideration in the future?
Sure. I think, I think as we talked about, I think just the idea of mobility of all kinds, Rick Chaplow from the Right Place, at the same time they talked about this being something that should be a priority. He talked about Southwest Airlines' recent decision to begin flying planes from Grand Rapids to Midway Airport in Chicago, which is Southwest Airlines' biggest hub. So once again, just, as they see it, it's really all about mobility options, and that's going to be trains, that's going to be airplanes and everything in between.
And so in the minds of someone at the right place, adding a north-south line between Grand Rapids and Chicago is not necessarily instead of the cross-state passenger rail system, which you mentioned in your story, proposed from Holland to Detroit.
Right, and I think, you know, that's still being discussed, but nobody would go into any specifics about that. As far as I know, they haven't even finalized a route yet. They just know that, you know, it would go, any proposal would go from Holland to Detroit, presumably. But they're still kicking around a couple of different options to where it would stop in between. So, you know, I think they have to at least work out those logistics somewhat before they would even move forward with further plans. I know I believe the Detroit News has reported that it would be a profitable line, the studies that they've done at least so far.
Well, on another subject, the last time we talked with you was back in the summer about something called the dark stores theory, which was allowing retailers to get their property tax bills lowered on, for instance, big box retail stores. Well, let's go back a little bit and talk about this before we get an update and kind of remind our listeners who may have forgotten about it, or perhaps let listeners know who didn't get to hear that first interview, exactly how this loophole works.
Sure. It's a loophole that, you know, a store like a Meijer or a Walmart or a Home Depot, or in some cases, you know, sources inform me that even gas stations and smaller convenience stores are also using this. But essentially, they get the property tax bill. They immediately appeal it to a group called the Michigan Tax Tribunal, saying that their tax bill is too high and that it should be based on comparable stores, as they refer to it, which are often closed vacant stores. And so far, the Michigan Tax Tribunal has largely agreed with the retailers over the objections of many municipalities and municipal organizations that lobby on their behalf.
And this has taken a bite out of the budgets of local governments across the state, correct?
It absolutely has. The Michigan Association of Counties, I believe, estimates that just since 2013, it cost municipalities in the state about $100 million.
And then there are sometimes deed restrictions in place on some of these properties, so that doesn't leave a lot of options for redeveloping them.
Right. You know, these organizations such as the Michigan Association of Counties and Michigan Municipal League that are lobbying to close this loophole, you know, love to show photos of, you know, vacant stores that have long been vacant in places around the state that just can't be redeveloped because they have deed restrictions placed on them by the retailers, essentially that say that any sort of competing use just can't be on that property.
So what are lawmakers in Lansing at least proposing that might be done about this?
Right. So State Rep David Maturin, a Republican from Kalamazoo County, has introduced House Bill 5578. That he sees as being the right bill to really help curtail this practice. He's a former real estate appraiser, and he sees opportunity to what he says is level the playing field. Essentially, all properties would be treated equal under this bill. So, you know, it really wouldn't allow for these retailers to try to claim, you know, that their buildings are special.
So in your story, State Representative Dave Maturin says that he has 27 co-sponsors for his bill. So does this indicate that there are other lawmakers out there, and it's bipartisan support, that see this as a problem in their communities?
Yeah, I think they absolutely do. And Rep. Maturin is not the first legislator to introduce legislation aimed at curtailing or closing this loophole. He says his legislation stands out as being a little bit more all-encompassing and, you know, looking at it from a real estate appraisal issue and treating all property the same as opposed to other bills which move forward. But I don't think that's not saying that he also doesn't see, you know, some problems going forward. I think he sees it as the industry itself, you know, the retailing industry will move to fight this. Haven't seen examples of that yet, but I think that's something to pay attention to.
So despite broad bipartisan support in the legislature, Representative Maturin thinks that he's in for a bit of a battle on this one?
That's more or less what he indicated. I think as the order of my story, he says the folks that get this treatment will be adamant in keeping it, and I don't think it will be quick and easy, is his quote. I think it's worth mentioning that I've also reached out to the Commercial Real Estate Association for the area, and they're still examining the legislation as well. They've been interested in seeing where legislation will go with this, but they've yet to take a position on it.
Nick Manis, again, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate you having me on.
Nick Manis is a staff writer for MIBiz. You can find links to his stories on train travel between Kalamazoo and Chicago, as well as the dark store theory used to get favorable tax treatment by retailers in Michigan at MIBiz.com and through a link at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.